Jesus, we worship you. And we thank you for this outpouring. And all we can see in it is love. Lord, we thank you that very soon now, this glory that is to proceed forth, that it covers the land. It covers the land that we've been claiming. And it covers our nation. Father, I thank you that so soon, the streets of Immokalee are enveloped with the power of God to bring salvation to this city. I thank you that the village and the Second Street and the projects are brought into this place by the hundreds in the name of Jesus. I thank you that the Fifth Avenuers in Naples are brought into this place in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the revival that touches the hearts of men from the top to the bottom and from the bottom to the top in the name of Jesus. No one is left out in this. Father, I thank you that you touch the hearts of men across this nation. Lord, love, love, love. Lord, Father, we pray for Senator Obama tonight. We pray for his salvation. We pray for his family to be blessed. We pray for Joe Biden. We pray your blessings on their life in this sense that they come to the fullness of Jesus Christ. We pray for John McCain and we pray for Sarah Palin. We pray that across our nation that your love will prevail in the precious name of Jesus. We want to see a sweeping revival, Lord Jesus. And only God will bring our nation back to the place that it needs to be. And I worship you, Lord. Let it begin in this city. Let it touch this state, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, your love, your love. Hallelujah. Second Street, come over here. First Street, projects. The worst of the worst. Father, the best of the best. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us this nation, we pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Glory. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I am the one who declares the end from the beginning, saith the Spirit of grace. For if you'd like to see and to know and understand a picture of the future that you hold in this thing, saith the Lord. For there will come in the days ahead over this city great, great open air meetings where thousands will be harvested in just a few days' time, saith the Spirit of grace. Thank you, Lord. And you might as well know that the basis of it will be the sound doctrine. You'll run ahead in this thing. And you'll engineer it. And you'll bring it forth. Where I can find a place where I can build that foundation to where that when the harvest comes in, they'll be built upon the sayings, my sayings, and not on man's tradition. And you'll know this, that they'll be harvested by signs and wonders, saith the Spirit of grace. For truly, truly, that great harvest will be brought about by the demonstration of the very things that you've called in, saith the Spirit of grace. For those who are gainsayers, and those that are caught up in religion, and those who have come from places far away and brought their voodoo and witchcraft, they will have to say with all certainty, watching the miracles and watching the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear and the dumb speak and the demoniacs set free, they will have to proclaim with all certainty that your God is God, saith the Spirit of grace. Ezeforoche. Alebrosola. Mendeca de Sefre Betiaco Checeste. Ezeditia. Oh, get ready for exciting days. Get ready for exciting days. Get ready for exciting days. For the things that you read about in the Old Testament, and great heroes of faith will return to the scene, saith the Lord. Those who do great exploits, those who know their God, will be those who I'll lay my hand on. And there will be the sons of David rise again. There will be the sons of those prophets who will raise up in great strength and run with a mighty vigor in my spirit, saith the Lord. And you might as well know, saith the Spirit of grace, that there'll also be showdowns, those kinds that were recorded in those books where I showed my power triumphant over all the powers of the enemy. Know this, that there will be showdowns where the enemy of this world and witchcraft and those who lift up darkness will rise up to try to prove their stand, and know that I will bring forth my glory in the midst, as in those days, once again, I'll prove that I am God, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm glad I'm on this side. Hallelujah. I want us to pray right now for Gary Carpenter. He's over in Korea. He's ministering at Pastor Jin Ho's church. And of course, you know that I was there a few years ago, and he's doing 2 weeks of meetings there. And can we just stand and pray for him right now? He's going to be ministering. He asked us to pray. So let's just direct our prayer. It's about 12 hours difference, I think 11 or 12. So it's probably in the morning over there. So Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up Gary Carpenter and the church in Korea. Father, in Jesus' name, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Lord, let the power of God flow through Gary right now and through those students who are in that Bible college and over the church, Lord, and over the people. Father, may the power of your Spirit raise up such a beautiful standard in that house. And Lord, flow through the power of the Holy Ghost and glorify Jesus and heal bodies and deliver people, Lord. And Father, we commit Gary unto you from the time he gets there to the time he leaves. And Lord, Sue back in Tulsa, Lord, may she be blessed in their whole ministry in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory. Just wanted to read to you a Palin interview, the election. And she said, is an all in God's hands. And this was just a short excerpt here that I've got from an interview that she had with Dr. Dobson. One of nation's foremost evangelist leaders told Palin that he was asking for God's intervention and praying for a miracle in regards to the election this year. The GOP vice president nominee said that she gained strength from the supporters she meets on the rope lines at campaign events. I can feel the power of prayer and that strength that is provided through our prayer warriors across this nation, and so I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Glory. The interview focused almost entirely on religion, and Palin told Dobson that her Christian faith is her foundation, and that in regards to the outcome of the election, it is all in God's hands. Hallelujah. Dobson has been very critical of John McCain, even saying publicly that he would not vote for the GOP nominee. However, he has expressed his support for McCain's choice of Palin. Hallelujah. Dobson, and I would say this, I respect him, but I disagreed with him entirely on that, entirely. But thank God that there is some one that has persuaded him to come over. Dobson asked Palin about her private conversations with John McCain or with McCain, and if he would implement the Republican platform, which is more conservative than the 2004's platform. She said that from the bottom of her heart, she was very confident that he would implement the platform. Dobson praised Palin on her opposition to abortion rights, and the Alaska governor responded, describing her long-standing anti-abortion stance. I've always had near and dear to my heart the mission of protecting the sanctity of life and being pro-life, a hardcore pro-lifer. Hallelujah. Dobson reminded Palin that he sent her a letter after her infant son Trigg was born, saying the baby's birth was a powerful testimony to the sanctity of human life. Trigg was born 6 months ago with Down syndrome. She told Dobson that Trigg's birth was an opportunity for me to really be walking the walk and not just talking the talk on her opposition to abortion. Hallelujah. Glory. Now I found out through an excellent, I've got the world's greatest secretary. She runs all kind of things on, she lets me know what, you know, the legal things are on 501s and stuff. And of course, we're not really scared. I know it's going to come in the days ahead. I want to pick it though. I want to pick my battlegrounds. But I found out this, that what I could legally say this. This is not coming from the voice of the church. And I am not telling you who to vote for. But I am voting for John McCain and Sarah Palin. And I can say that. And I've been like a little kid that found out they could say a bad word and they wanted to say it all day long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just real quick, we're going to take a moment for a few testimonies. And just those of you that are testifying, if the preach gets on you, get it off. Because I'm supposed to preach. Go ahead, Marcia. Tell us about the twins.
Well, a few months back, we prayed for my niece, Jessica, who she was carrying twins, and they had told her that it was one out of 62,000 births like this that the babies would be conjoined at birth, and also a lot of other problems. But praise the Lord, October 1st, they took the boy C-section, and they were not conjoined. And matter of fact, they said because they were 8 weeks, they had to take them 8 weeks early, that they would probably have to be in the hospital like 6 weeks. So that would be towards the end of November, 1st of December, before they get to come home. They came home yesterday because they have just developed and done great.
Hallelujah.
So praise God.
You did great, Marcia. Hallelujah. Charles, what you got a good testimony about, a good report. Tell us what happened about your back and your MRI and everything.
Yeah, last Tuesday I had an MRI and went back Friday for the results. They said the old test was perfect.
Hallelujah. You remember he had the cancer at one time? Long gone. Hallelujah. Still gone. Marty? You don't have to rush too much, Marty. But I tell you what, Marty, you might preach a little bit, so you keep in mind what I said. Thank you, Matt.
What's that all about?
What's that all about?
We was down here worshiping, and I had one of those visions of revival, and it really, really made me feel good. And I was down at the basketball courts at the park. Everybody's down there doing their thing like they do in the afternoon. They're playing basketball and everything. And all of a sudden, I'm just standing there watching them, and they all stopped what they were doing within a split second, and they all knew where they wanted to be. They did not want to be there. They wanted to be somewhere where they had heard about the glory of God. And it was like I realized that that's how it's going to start happening. And just it's going to be just like that. One day we're going to be just like we are tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to be wondering whatever it is I'm worrying about or whatever, and then the next day or the next moment, it's just going to start falling like that.
Hallelujah.
And that's how it's going to be, and it's just incredible.
Now, this happened before the prophecy.
Yeah, before the prophecy. I mean, I was just kind of daydreaming, which I frequently do. But it was a good kind, and I was down at the basketball courts earlier today, so it was a fresh picture. I was watching them all down there, and we're trying to meet somebody, and we're going to go to church, and they're all down there just, I mean, they're just busy doing their thing. They're exercising. They're, you know, shaking off the stress from their day. And when I was up here, I saw the same people, and they just stopped what they were doing, and they knew where they wanted to be. At some
Hallelujah.
Point in their life, someone had told them, and they remembered, and they just, it was like they just left. They just, balls, Jesus. Keys, phones, and it didn't matter.
Glory to God. We'll finish our steak, and then we'll come back. And then we'll go back to celebrate the following week. You know, it'll never, ever, ever be just like you want it. You'll not have all the I's, you know, dotted and the T's crossed and like, I'm really ready for revival now. Okay, it can come. It's going to interrupt all of us. I'm sorry. But that's why you're praying in tongues. Because you're going to enjoy the interruption. But it's going to be a little bit messy too. But it'll be good. You know, all these kids coming in and being born again. I'm talking about little ones in Christ. Hallelujah. And is there a spiritual, scriptural precedence of what he's saying? Absolutely. The book of Acts was suddenly. I mean, it was like today, no converts. Next day, 3,000. A few days later, 5,000. You know, and it was a tsunami effect. It was just like that. So, like Marty said, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, why we didn't get this done or that, and all of a sudden, boom, it's here. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So you're going to be ready if you'll just keep praying. Praying in tongues. Mortification. Because when they come in, they're babies. And they're going to have diaper rash. And just because they're born again and just because they're spirit-filled and just because we cast some devils out of them, they're going to remember how to stab people in the back. And if there's anything that I want as a father in the Spirit is to fill you with the love of God that has the capacity to reach out with full vim and vigor, but never, never extends itself past full discernment in the Holy Ghost. Some people don't understand that. They think either you love totally or you just back up and don't love at all. Genuine love is full discerning. The fullness of love, fullness of agape. Jesus, the word said they continually came to Him and flattered Him. Good Master. I'm afraid some of us at times, if we got too flattered in the future, we'll fall for anything. I want to pray enough in the Holy Ghost, spiritually speaking, that my enemy would think I was his best friend until I took that spiritual sword and plunged it deep within his heart. I want to have a poker face. And I also want to love. I want to say, this person can destroy my life if I give myself over to him. But I can love them to the fullness. Because I understand up front. You know, the only reason why you ever lay down anything is because you bypass things that the Holy Spirit will put up in front of you and say, checkpoint, checkpoint. And as long as they keep bragging on you, you keep putting those checkpoints down. As long as they keep affirming you and patting you on the back, you'll let checkpoints down. But you can't love them. You can't love them correctly unless you pray enough like you're doing. The babies are going to come in. I want you elders to grow up enough. And I believe that you're there and are progressing like me. I haven't arrived, so I say we're all progressing. That we can treat people with the best of dignity. Yes, and integrity. Yes, but to also know this. We're continually reserving discernment, walking in the understanding that we are the foundation in doctrine and in fellowship that the Holy Spirit has established here that He can build on for the future. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isn't that just good stuff? Just solid stuff? That's not sloppy agape. That's not the kind of agape that just lets anything go at any time. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So I just want you to stretch your faith this way. I just feel real good in the Spirit. So Father, I just thank You. I bless You. I glorify You. I love You so much, Jesus. I love you so much. Lord, I thank you for every one of these elders that are here. And they know who they are. And I don't have to appoint them. The Holy Spirit is appointing them. Men and women. Lord, men and women who are growing up in Christ and are becoming the watchmen on the wall. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Ghost. I receive these next few moments to condense this thing in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and teach from a prophetic standpoint. I thank you for every man that's praying for me out there, every woman that's praying for me. And I thank you that those that are praying for me on a weekly basis and praying for Candy. And Lord, we likewise, we obligate ourselves in the Spirit. Bring us out and hold us in a place where we're able to lift up this eldership and this body. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Amen. You answered my prayer. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Did you ever pray a prayer like, no, you didn't. Restrain. I don't know how I said it, Lord. Limit the people that are here tonight. Limit. Yeah, there's times He'll take you out and He'll ask you to do that. And usually what He's wanting to do is He's wanting to speak to mature people. And when that happens, I'm really glad that there's not a lot of visitors. So I'm looking around, I'm saying, yeah, this is good. So you get a few shots where you can actually ask God to keep people out of church. And this was one of them. Hallelujah. But aren't you glad that you're here? Ooh, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to our intercessors, hasn't He? Candy. And then there was a few people in the back. Well, He's been saying things. Maybe you're saying, yeah, I haven't heard Him speak to me personally. Well, He's been speaking prophetically lately. So He's speaking to you. He's talking about a standard that we the intercessors have the privilege and the capability of bringing up in this house. I want to appeal to your senses, He wants to, and just have you judge on a spiritual line so that you acclimate that part of you that really can get down into the fabrics of judging spiritual things. I'm asking you as elders to continually stay in a place of discernment. Not critical judgment. There's a difference. You've walked into places before and you could tell people had a critical attitude. I'm not trying to birth cynicism in here. I'm trying to speak, and am speaking by the Spirit, that you're developing a place of discernment as elders, and especially as elders/intercessors. Because it's through you guys that the atmosphere comes in. You don't have to show me by a raise of hands, but you can if you want to. How many of you just noticed, and we'll talk about this prophetically, how many of you just noticed the difference in the anointing and the level of the anointing tonight versus Sunday? Can you tell? Okay. Sunday was great. I mean, Sunday was wonderful. And there's nothing wrong with Sunday. There was anointing there, and it was very powerful. But let me put it this way, unless you're trying to figure it all out. Did you see the exuberance that was so easy to have tonight? It was just so easy. And I can tell you this, and you guys know enough about me, those of you who've been around a while, I don't have to get up and say anything. In fact, if I do get up and say anything, it doesn't mean that He didn't take the service over. But I just can't wait until there are those powerful takeovers We can never, ever get to say anything. It's just one continuous wave after the other. Do you know I court that? Do you know I relish that? Do you know I'm praying for that on a continual basis? Hallelujah. Great waitings and orchestrated power. And if anybody says anything, it's just wonderful. But if they don't, there's still healings going on and crying and worshiping and ministry. And I'll tell you, we've felt that preface to that tonight. There was a sense of liberty. Let me tell you the reason why. You got to understand something. Many of you probably already know this, but I just want to kind of invigorate your thought processes. Why is Wednesday night or Friday night different? Why is there a different so-called per se liberty in the Spirit to just kind of almost step over into it from the time you come in versus, let's say, Sunday mornings? Let's say this past Sunday. Did you have a problem with this past Sunday? No. I really enjoyed it. I really did. Really did. But the Holy Spirit wants me to kind of use it as a typical kind of something that I'm asking you as elders to stay in the Spirit with me and let us as intercessors go to the next level. Because I believe the next level for us, that God, what God is asking you and me as intercessors to do, is to bring us in, to pray that He wants to bring us in to such a level that we have these takeovers, those continual takeovers. God, it's the least of my worries to have to say anything to you. I mean, like, you need a pastor to say something. My God, if there's word to be spoken, I've got word tonight. I hope I can get to it. I think it'll go right along with what we're saying here. But right now, He wants you to understand how important you are as spiritual men and women, that you come prepared. Sundays, typically, we're going to have some great Sundays ahead of us. But typically what you're going to find is this almost looks like a Sunday crowd because it's big enough to be almost. But what you're going to find is such an integration of people that they bring in with them an atmosphere. Now understand this, we are never, ever, ever, you individually or us as an eldership, ever at the mercy of a crowd or the temperament of a crowd. In fact, what He's telling us is this, we're the ones as intercessors that really are supposed to be the game changers in every service. But we have to understand that when groups come in, listen, there's no, all I can do is describe. And if I'll try to preface things so your conscience don't think, well, he's talking about me. When people come in on Sundays 10, 15, 20 minutes late, and then they, you're in here tonight because you just dove into worship. And I'm not, again, downgrading anybody. I'm just saying what spirit comes. 15, 20, sometimes, I don't even check. But what happens is, you'll find typically there's a level that we can go to. But have you ever sensed, I'm asking you to pull on your spiritual senses. The word says in Hebrews, strong meat belong to those that are of full age, who by the reason of exercise, the only way you ever get to a place of discerning things is you keep exercising. Now, sometimes people say, man, we had a great service, or the Spirit of the Lord is really, He's always here. Even when you, forgive me if I seem hostile at times, even when you feel like I'm saying we got to go to the next level, it's honestly because I can see something. I can see that, okay, let me tell you in the natural, then I'll turn it to the Spirit. Times when I step up on stage and after people have come in late and they're, and we've only been 30 or 40 minutes into worship, and then that crowd who, God bless them, are coming to try to survive. They're coming to try to survive. Many of them. Not all of them. not all of them, I'm not going to stereotype, many of them, trying to survive their Christian life. They haven't worshiped all week. God bless them. They need a haven. They can't carry the service. But what happens is the mindset that they have will begin to dictate the service unless you and I as intercessors realize that there's an atmosphere that we can control through the Spirit. If we sit back, like sometimes I've stepped up on stage and after 20 minutes or 30 minutes, now some of you worship good sitting down, so again, no stereotypes. But I'm talking about a spirit. You got me? Everything I'm talking about tonight is a spirit. A spirit. Not the do's and don'ts. It's a spirit we're after. I turn around, and the crowd's already sitting down. Like, are we done with this yet? Can we move on to something else? Sometimes you, even as a leader, may think, well, we served our purpose. Let's go on to something else. And I'm not taking exception with you. But I'm asking you to go to another place as an intercessor. This can sound... Boy, I have to preface myself a lot tonight, don't I? This can sound really egotistical and high. And the order of the service, unless a guy or gal is messed up, will always be up here. It'll always be up here. The baton from the Holy Spirit's always up here. In other words, what you see and what God's trying to get over to the people. And I guess I'm saying that from that sense, even if sometimes you come in here distracted, just do your best to trust your pastor. The other thing is, too, is God bless you. Most of you do not have all day long to spend in prayer. I mean, you're trying to diaper a kid or work a job, or, and this is a job too. This is a good job. But when you spend all day long in prayer, day after day, and not every day, you kind of get where the Holy Spirit will come and talk to you about the things you love the most, and that's you people. And that's being able to see into things. And that's being able to see into, and I'm not talking to a bunch of people that can't. I'm talking to leaders here now that I believe are at a level with me to discern into the Spirit. But I'm just saying this for this purpose. In the future, if we come in here and you've had a bad hair day, or if you beat the kids on the way to church or whatever, and your discernment level is not up, trust me, when I've put several hours into prayer all week, and I'm saying by the Holy Spirit, if I'm not making it up, folks, there's another level we've got to go to. And if you start out knowing He's already pleased, if you start out knowing that He's already pleased and He's not getting on us from the standpoint, but He's already pleased. But folks, I think every one of you that pray know that we're on a verge of some breakthroughs. But there's spirits that come. And I'm telling you, like tonight, it's so easy. Really is so easy. It's easy for me to preach. It's easy for you to understand. There's times, believe me, I'm talking about a spirit now. Don't get off on me. If you get off, he's talking to you then. There's spirits. Dave said that one time he was walking out, he's stepping down out of his pulpit, and he had one of those Sundays. Homer's had them. That Matt's had them when I've left him, and anybody that's ever got up. And anytime Barbara's led, or any of you, there's other preachers in here. Just hadn't, you know, maybe shared this pulpit yet. You'll get your chance. But here's the deal. Nobody's fighting for the chance, because you're leaders. You're not fighting for the chance. And if you were fighting for the chance, you disqualified yourself. Totally disqualified yourself. Hallelujah. But those spirits, he said, he saw one. He didn't know he was discerning spirits. It would have been a horrible service it was one of those kinds where all I can describe, again, please, I'm talking about a spirit. You know, the kind where all of a sudden that, well, let me describe certain ones, like, you know, the devil that wants everybody to pee at the same time. What are you going to do with that one, Kath? Cell phone devils. Hey, listen, listen, and it's not even that. Honestly, I've got to know this, and I talked to the elders about this. I've got to be in a place where, like Jesus, where if they were cussing me from the floor, I can still go forward. And many times, and most of the time, the anointing is so strong that a lot of times Candy will say, you know, or somebody will say, or Pastor, were you okay? When I said, what was going on? I didn't really know. But when those devils, like I'm describing them, that Dave saw, and many of you have heard Dave talk about like this, those devils carry an anointing with them. They suck the oxygen, the spiritual oxygen, out of the room. So that normally when they're not there, even if there's a natural cause for everybody to get up at once, when they're there, everybody's eyes go boom. There's a trumpet. Sister so-and-so is going to the bathroom and all of her kids with her. Everybody look this way. When he's there, sit down, Homer. When he's here, God, you won't believe it. I mean, I wish all of you could have your day. I mean, no, I don't really, because I love you. But I kind of do. I wish you could get it, sit up here one time. I wish you could get both sides. It's really an enjoyable thing in life to preach the gospel when it's flowing. And that's wonderful, and that's where it's supposed to always be. It's also another thing to preach it when he's here. When he's here and people are following dirt devils with their eyes. Or floaters. I don't know what they're, you know, they're looking like this and you catch them. They're doing this. I've even seen people, I hope this isn't identifying none of you. When I'm trying, I'm sweating bullets and they're playing with babies. You know, babies will get your attention too. And they're not saying anything, but, you know, I'm trying to say, oh God, you guys be praying for me. And people are going, oh, I'll get you. Peekaboo. I mean, people that should know better. I'm saying, God, stay with me, people. Stay with me. It's like, and Jesus said, and I don't know if you noticed it or not. I'm talking to elders now. I'm talking to seasoned people. I don't know if you, I get the right to talk to you. I'm not telling you that that's all you doing that. I don't know if you noticed that even when the first prophecy came this past Sunday, that spirit was here to a level. Even when he gave the first prophecy, it didn't move nobody. No response. Now maybe you elders said in your heart, but there was like a, you got another one for me, Joe? That one didn't move me. Can you give me another shot? It's like, oh God. When that spirit, what it does is this. It is a defying spirit. And it wants to suck the atmosphere out. And it really, I'll tell you the honest truth, it does if you're a leader and you've got the pulpit. It makes you want to go on to something else. It does. You're like, man, I'll give them tic-tac-toe games. We'll do anything. My God. I just want to get out of here. Just want to go. I lick my wounds and get to the next, you know, next stage of things. But, Ralph, all the glory to God, and you guys are too. I'm a mule. I am stubborn. And when that thing looks at me, and I'm not saying you guys, I'm just saying it's a spirit, honest to God, and any of you that's ever stood up here, when it comes, it's got a face on it. It looks right back out at you, and it says, move me. Move me, if you can. But I don't know anything other to do than to be just as stubborn as it is. And that's why you heard me say, well, the rest of the service today is going to be dedicated to worship. You know why, folks? Because here's the thing. He's a schooler. And we're not exceptional. My God, I keep telling you guys. And I know that you know this. I want you to know that I'm not above you guys. I honestly do not have sin in my life. But a lot of times I'll refer and I'm saying, you know, I'm not perfect. Because I want you guys to know that. I'm not at some super level of perfection. But when these spirits come in, what they've done to other pastors and other churches is this. If they ever started on this journey and they got to this place and these spirits, like I haven't explained yet, like this, Dave said he looked over in the corner and there was this spirit, and he didn't know it was a spirit, but he saw this guy, a man in his church, standing by the exit sign. If you guys, anybody been there before, you know facing the stage would be to your far left. He saw him standing there in a Tobetian-type long robe with a hood on. And he had his arms crossed. He had a receding hairline. And he could, you know, the hood came down to where it just was about to cover his eyes. Dave was like, who let that guy in? And then he looked and he saw a bunch of, that guy was a ruler. He was like the guy in charge, and he was kind of like looking over. The only thing is, Dave says, I realized I was in the spirit after a while, and he said, I realized that guy, he didn't know that I could see him, that I was taking observation. When he realized he was in the spirit is when he looked and he saw a bunch of other littler devils running in and out of the pews and just causing all kind of chaos. Yammering. And he realized that was a traveling band. That was a ruler of darkness, and he had an entourage with him, and they would go from church to church and see what. See, when I'm talking about that, I'm not perfect, but thank God for praying in tongues. We realize, folks, those things like to school people. If you ever start backing down from them, if we ever started going to a place where we said, okay, we as the eldership or the intercessors, there's just not something right here this morning. We don't feel like pressing in, but it's too hard to go to the next level. You know what he'll do? He'll school you every time until he bleeds the life completely out of you. That's why the call to prayer is greater than ever before. That's why the call to intercessors. And I've been saying this to some of the intercessors lately, so some of you already know what I'm talking about with this, and this is not obviously the one, you know, there's a few that I've been talking to, so they know what I'm talking about like this, and so I'm not trying to school you in saying this. You're already in agreement with me. When it comes to intercession, when it comes to you praying, and especially the people that you invite around you, don't fall in love too quickly. What are you talking about, Pastor? Don't be like a schoolboy, high school boy, a high school girl. You just, anybody can come in. I'm talking about discerning. Discerning. It's so important that the birthing place, the people that are, now listen, and I'm not saying this because I believe there is one among, I do not believe there is one among us. I've not even had a witness of the Holy Spirit that there is. Listen, there are going to be witches sent in the days ahead that some of you will be If you're not praying in tongues, you'd like for them to become the pastor of the church. And you'll invite them into your prayer closet. You'll say, could you hook up with me and pray over such and such? And they'll be doing their himmy-chimmy stuff on the side. Why? Why do you say this, Pastor? Because we are asking God for miracles. Miracles are in the realm of God, Holy Spirit, and angels of light. We've already been notified. We've already been picked up, people. They know about us. They're going to send. And you know where they're going to send them? They're not going to look like evil. They are going to look like they have the best intentions in the world. I praise God for praying women around here and praying men. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We're having a good time, aren't we? I feel like we're just growing up in the Spirit. So what do I do, Pastor? Just keep praying. Come and know this, that almost every Sunday is going to be automatically different than the Wednesdays and Fridays because of the crowd. There'll be a different, the appeal will be different. A lot of times it'll be appeal for the lost to come in and those kind of things. But understand this. If the enemy starts dictating the order of the service, like if it goes down to a level that it shouldn't be, we're the ones that control that thermostat. They don't. We're the ones that are supposed to pick it up in the Spirit. And I'm just asking you to, as a spiritual leader, is that you come rough and ready. I want you to relax, pray in tongues, worship God, have a good time, but always keep that sword, close enough you can pull it at any time. Hallelujah. Yes, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, we had some scripture to... Can I just read this scripture before we leave? This is in Ezekiel. We've covered this before. But I want you to see again what worship... Tomorrow morning when you worship, what happens? Tomorrow afternoon when you worship. Tonight, in the middle of the night, if you spend a little bit of time laying in bed just worshiping the Lord, and you truly get over into that place where you're presenting your spirit, I want you to understand again and again and again how detrimental this is to the enemy. We're not playing games. Listen, a lot of you are fighting for your loved ones. I've had spirits I don't even tell you about. We don't have poltergeist experiences in our house. But I wouldn't be scared of that if that happened. I'd know that they were there not because I opened the door for them. They're just trying to, you know, come and intimidate me. I just wouldn't put up with it. But I have had spirits more times than you can count come in. I knew he was standing right there by my bedside. Have you ever had one try to counsel you all night long? And try to talk you into giving up. And tell you all the... They are like... And you say, well, why do you put up with it? You keep pleading the blood. You keep fighting them in the Spirit. They're determined. You're putting pressure on them, but they're determined to stay too. So it's a war, people. It is a war. Now, the further we go into Christ, the further we'll exercise the authority in that war. And we always win. That's the bottom line. So if I have to keep praying for days, I always win. You always win. If I have to go into another fast, I always win. I just want to learn how to win real quick. Glory to God. Worship is one of those ways. We know this, that Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained praise because of the enemy. Now he was quoting from David. He was quoting in chapter 8 of David, of the Psalms. And David actually said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained not. He didn't say praise, you ordained strength. But Jesus was quoting from him. Strength is equivocated to praise, or praise is equivocated to strength. Why? Because he goes on to say that you may steal the avenger, the enemy and the avenger. Steal means to shut him up. You put some kind of, muzzle on that guy. And you not only put a muzzle on him, I believe that according to Psalms 149, you bind their kings with chains. Listen, in the spirit, I really like to be vicious. I hope, especially when they try to inflict some kind of mental anguish on me or my family, I hope that, spiritually speaking, what I do in the Word causes them some extreme pain. Hallelujah. Some of you have never been thoroughly attacked, or you'd really want them to have pain too. He says, now this is after the fall. We're looking at, thank you, Homer, Ezekiel 28. We've read this before, but we'll read it again tonight because I want you to understand. Now this is absolutely, I've established this before in teaching, so we won't go into the depth of it. There is a physical king here of Tyre, king of Tyrus, and there is a spiritual king here of Tyrus. And we're speaking about the latter here. And the latter is Satan himself. And it's talking about his former place of authority. And it says, Son of man, take up, in verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been, past tense, in the garden of God. Every precious stone, the garden of Eden, or been in Eden, the garden of God. This is a place that was in heaven before God created it on the earth. There's always a prototype, and there was a place called Eden, the garden of God. He says this, every precious stone was thy covering, speaking to this individual, which we identify as the one we call Satan now, Lucifer then. Every stone was thy covering. Topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, goes on and on. And gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets, that's the word tambourines, and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So he's talking about his creation here. And he says, all these beautiful things were your covering or your tapestry. In other words, he was ornamented. Now that's strange to us, but some way the enemy that we call the enemy and the avenger now was beautifully made. And he was a costly kind of creature. He just had something about him, not only his tabrets, which was the pipes and the tambourines, his ability to make music. And then from there, we've taught lessons on he was at least one of, or maybe the orchestrator of heavenly worship. This is why he has such a divine power, a supernatural power in music, worldly music. He really does. And that's why he also goes after so many worship leaders. So many worship leaders. And I'll tell you, pray for the worship leaders. I've never seen, yes I have, but in a certain sense I haven't because it's the last day, such a fall of psalmists and worship leaders. And you know, they typically fall for strong levels of perversion. And your mind can't hardly connect those dots. But the perverter was once the worship leader, and he goes after them to destroy them to the very nth degree. He was a creature that was covered with great glory, and he was one that his pipes, meaning he had some kind of ability to just open up his being, whether by mouth or by voice of any sort, and cause some kind of worship. And there was a kind of an antiphonal kind of angels would get involved and God would get involved. And so, but it says here in verse 14, talked about his creation. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. We've talked about this. When you go into the book of Exodus and those, it talks about the holies of holies. The holies of holies was typified the inner sanctum of God. That's as far as you could go with God. Now, guess what? The holies of holies lives inside of me. Hallelujah. It's not behind a curtain. It's inside of me. There was the Ark of the Covenant on earth, and it was supposed to, according to Hebrews, be a typification or the prototype of that was a heavenly vision or a heavenly scenario, but the ark was supposed to be something that was going on in heaven. Well, there's two cherubs over the ark that Moses had fashioned out of gold, and their wings overstretched and their tips touched each other, and they overstretched the ark of the covenant like this. And he says, you are the anointed cherub that covereth. Isn't that amazing? Lucifer not only knew God, but he was had a throne room worship kind of leadership. And he must have been, according to my understanding, one of those angels that actually covered the mercy seat of God, the throne room of God. Isn't that amazing? It's really amazing. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. God did it from the beginning. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. The holy mountain of God, if you study this, if you look at it, you'll understand this is the throne room of God. Thou hast walked up, and this is where we've went into this before, but we're abbreviating it tonight. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now, it talks about stones of beauty that tapestrate or was his tapestry, but now it's talking about different stones. I went to some scriptures in Exodus. It's talking about the fire of God and the sapphire. When they went up the mountain to receive, when Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and some of the elders followed him to a certain level, it talked about that there was stones. There's a scripture that talks about the sapphire stones that were at the feet of God Himself. And then it talks about the glory that was on the mountain. I don't know all the ins and outs of this, but it does tell us something, that this man, I say a man, a creature, a being, had a privilege granted to him in a throne room ministry to walk up and down. What are stones of fire? Evidently, they must have something to do with either in a picture form or in a reality form of the glory of God. And when you're engrossed in that place, the full glory, the full illumination of who God is and everything that He is permeating your being. And you're evidently, it was a throne room place where the full ecstasy of everything God was being granted to this being as he walked up and down the stones of fire. And of course, fire is always typifies the glory of the Lord, the power of God, and who the power of the Holy Spirit is. And I'm going through this, as I said, abbreviated. I've taught this much more in detail before. Verse 15, he says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, we've taught on this, can't go into it, it's trade, the word trade, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. In other words, I'm revoking this privilege. I'm revoking this privilege. You're cast out. You don't get to walk. I'm not saying I have the full illumination on this, but I can tell you this. This was a throne room ministry by what it's showing here. He was in a covering position. He was a place. It talks about his pipes, his orchestrative ability, his beauty. And while he's in that, God's sharing a personal privilege or a privilege to walk up and down in his glory, in the glory of the Lord. It says here, in essence, he's revoking that from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was filled up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee down to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Verse 18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring, now this is the point, we said all that to really get you to this point, And if you'll remember this from the past, he said, "Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee." Hallelujah. Folks, 2 Chronicles 20 and all those such stories of David. That wasn't a David story. That was a Jehoshaphat story. They put the praisers out in front. And it caused confusion. And it caused such a confusion that story is carried out two or three times in the Old Testament. That the worshiper brought a detriment of destruction. Here he says, "I will bring a fire from the midst of thee." Remember this in the previous scriptures. He was accessed. He had an access to fire, which was the glory of the Lord, which was the best that I can interpret. And I think I have ample scripture other places to back it up. And we're not teaching on that tonight. But somewhere in the midst of this walking up and down in the stones of fire, there was a glory that he was accessorizing. And he had the granted permission of God to participate in. When he fell, that was one thing that was revoked out of what he got to do, of course. That fire, those stones of fire that once fed him, once was part of his being, now become his destruction. It now becomes an opposite. When darkness, which was once light, and I said this before, and maybe this will help you, and this is a fairy tale thing, but most of us grew up watching Superman or going to Superman movies or whatever. You know the one thing that could hurt Superman? How many are Superman people in here? What was it? Thank you. Kryptonite. I mean, the guy can do anything except when he runs into kryptonite. And the kryptonite came from his what? His planet. Exactly. Once it came in to his presence, it brought a destruction to him. Listen, when Lucifer fell and light by his own reason of choice became darkness, the very enzymes that once fed his nature, when he turned rogue, those enzymes of glory, the fire of God, now becomes a destructive fire to him. Glory to God. This in itself, when he says, "I will bring a fire out of you," what he's saying is this: when you worship God in the presence of your avenger and the one that is trying to convince you through a mirage of imaginations, and he's standing there opposing you because he himself is the epitome of all lies. He's the epitome of all lie. When he himself is standing there opposing you, when you begin to worship God, what you do according to Scripture, according to what Jesus said, according to what David said that Jesus quoted from, according to Old Testament examples that the praisers began to praise and confusion was brought forth. He says here in Ezekiel, "I will bring a fire from the midst of thee and it will devour." Well, I mean, you'd think God would attack him from without. But here he says, "I'm going to bring something that was already part of you and now it's going to destroy you." Folks, we get the privilege to worship God. And when we do, we cause this thing that God prophesied and said, from this day forward, what once blessed you is now your destruction. Glory to God. Oh my God, folks. This is putting it down. This is like, I'll worship. It's great to worship God by faith. Do it. And if you never understood anything. But this is like cranking down the microscope. Wow, I can really see why now when I worship God, it kills that guy. Because what used to bless him, now I bring forth a fire out of the midst of him, and he is devoured by that fire. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You guys know too much already. You ought to go conquer a nation tomorrow. Call, hey, Pastor, I'm over here. I took over this nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to dismiss you. Yes. I think that the worship that comes from the heart creates an atmosphere. And so I believe that laying there at any point and creating that atmosphere, when you do become vocal, sometimes it's necessary, because if you're in a skirmish and you yourself are under such a barrage, then the next level would be, don't lay there in torment. Get up and walk the floor and speak it out loud, because then you're hearing it for yourself. But in the bottom fabric of things is your worship, whether it's real loud or real soft, as long as you're worshiping, what you're doing is you're creating, you're not even the one that is the comptroller or the one that's supposed to be making that happen to him. Your worship is to God, and that presence that is emanating between you and God takes care of him. It goes and takes care of him. So it's not the volume of your voice. But then again, rule two kicks in. I've had too many times. He would kept on aggravating me until I had to get up and just, you know, really get on with it. Get on with it. So if you have to go into war, go into war. I mean, if you have to go into full scale, go into full scale. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we love you. And I'm so thankful for all of these men and women who are able to hear the word. So I release your grace over them. We're not afraid. We're not afraid. We've gotten past that. And if fear does come, we just turn back into you. We know that your word's always going to be challenged. But Father, give us this according to your word, that you seal these things inside of us. I thank you, Father, that all these things that were spoken to them, not one of them will lose it, but it'll be abide in them forever and forever. I thank you, Father, for your great grace that is in us now and working in us and through us. And so, Father, we just cover these people in your glory and thank you for the covering of your blood. And we thank you that Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Death. Sometimes even the shallowness of where I can go to with the congregation on Sunday morning is limited because the shroud is so on the minds of the people. There's no need in talking deep. There's no need in talking deep because they can't even get past Humpty Dumpty. I mean, they couldn't, you know, if you start, you got to back up. But liberty will give you a license for depth. It opens up the mind. I'm pursuing a place like all of you, that no matter what kind of bondage I walk into. Listen, when I was describing, and you know, Homer was saying yes, and Matt and some of you guys were saying, yeah, we have been here, been there, done that. And so you can see that spirit. Listen, that's a different spirit than a chaotic spirit that is in demon-possessed people or people that are oppressed. My hat goes off to Homer all the time. I mean, he's, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, the ushers help me, and you know, they'll usher, you know, and they'll help with babies and stuff, and he's having to work under tremendous chaotic conditions. I mean, you know, at times, but he's really got a good bunch. He's really got a good, really good bunch, but you know, but it's different. It's different than devils being in somebody and causing chaos. I could step over. Honestly, I've filled in for Homer several times, and I've been in situations where everything's not perfect and people are talking blah 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 blah. That's a different spirit. I could step over people fighting. I'll kill you, and just keep preaching the word and them wrestling around. I could do that. That's in people fighting among themselves is a different when there's a spirit that comes to suck the oxygen, the spiritual oxygen, and take the anointing. And that's when it's necessary for the intercessors to be the intercessors and to stand up and say, we will not. We'll die before we submit. Hallelujah. We'll die before we submit. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Where are we at now? Offering. Hallelujah. I wish we had confessions and all that stuff. I, you know what? I just say God supplies all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Would you just lift that up with me right now? Father, we just worship You. Lord, the enemy's not going to be able to starve us out, and he's not going to keep us out. For You're the God that causes us to increase with all grace so that we might have all sufficiency at all times. And so, Father, I just commit this offering unto You, and I receive it by faith in the precious name of Jesus, and I thank You for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, if you have something this evening, we'd appreciate it, and you can get that ready and bring it down now. And you can just stand, and as you bring this down, wasn't this really good tonight? I mean, God was in the house. So, hallelujah. God bless you. We love you all.